Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And we got a great one today. When I mean great, one of the greatest guys who's ever done it. Punt returner, kickoff returner specialist. Throw him on the offense side of the ball. I hate it. I mean, any defensive player, let me tell you, if you don't hate this dude, to play against him because he's so damn dynamic. He's had so explosive, so creative, and just make, you know, something from nothing. Devin Hester, man, one of the best kickoff return specialists, best special teams guys ever. Definitely 100% is a Hall of Famer when it comes in time. Broke Deion Sanders' record. Just so many different things. And anyway, this is going to be a good one. Devin Hester. Yo, what part of the world are you in right now?
Man, I'm in Orlando.
You're in Orlando. What you got going on down there?
Man, you know, I stay in Orlando now. So, you know, just kind of just located here, settled down, man. Got kids going and school and all that. So, making it my home now.
You know, what's funny. I was in Orlando probably about 6 months ago with my boy Mojo, who's in the WWE. And so we were out there going around, and everything was wide open. This was like almost 5 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it is now. Pretty much just 100% open now.
Hey, so you're down there for like permanently, right? Because I saw your kid. You were just telling your kid, dog, when I seen that the first post, that social media video, your son going viral, the first thing I saw, it's a couple of years ago, I think it was. When I saw it, I said, man, this world got another Devin Hester. Like, like, come on. It can't be no more you around, dog. Like, so many. I'll tell you this, man. We used to watch film and do all this. And you always going to try to, you know, play your best against the best, right? So you're like, okay, you saw what he did the week before. You're sitting there watching. Like, okay, he ain't doing that to us. So this is what we're going to do. Man, when you go out there and still do this, man, nobody got nothing to say. What kind of stuff did you hear like over the course? Like when you came in 06, you balled out your rookie year. How did people start looking at you and like preparing for you now? Because then you already was on the map. So at first, no one knows about you. Then, you know, you kind of get put on the map.
Right, man. I mean, to prepare, like what we did, man, it's went like film tells a lot. You know, and when you watch film and then you see the guys that, you know what I mean, hit them for 20, 30-yard punt return, and then you look at their special team unit, you be like, man, those guys just hit them for 20, 30 yards. They ain't even half as good as we are. We going to kill them. And so that right there, it really, really motivated us when we play against. Because at the end of the day, when you watch film, you can tell who has a good special team unit and who has a terrible special team unit. So I think that right there alone, my special team coach Dave Toll, man, he did a hell of a job, man, preparing us, man, week in and week out for that situation.
Because, you know, and you appreciate that respect, because I know we had the respect of just watching you. But, you know, I go into games and I'm looking like, man, this dude is on another level. And I remember when you broke Deion's record. Was he – let me ask you, because I always say this. Was he somebody that you wanted to break a record? Did you ever have it known?
I was a person, like, when I played ball, I didn't really look into records until somebody mentioned it to me. Like, it wasn't something where I Googled every week, okay, who has the best, most return yards, who has the most kickoff return, touchdown. It was always brought to me. So, you know what I mean? Like, we have, like, you know, the guys that work in the office, they'll come up to me and say, hey, you know, you 4 yards away shy from moving up to the fifth place in most yards. Or this week coming up, you know, if you have, you know what I mean, 50-something yards, you break somebody else's record. So I never really looked into it until somebody brought it to my attention. So when it got close to that time for the record for Deion, it was more so, okay, you three touchdowns away from it. So when they told me that, that's when it started settling in. Okay, man, I'm getting closer and closer.
Yeah, nah, dude. No, the thing is, no one really want to talk about it and be say, okay, that's the guy I looked at and I want to break his record. And even though it's not all about records, but I tell you, when I got to the Chargers in 05, all I heard was about Junior Seau. You know, I just heard about Junior Seau, and I was like, man, if I can do and break any kind of record that Junior Seau have around here, then I know that's how I'm going to be judged and looked at. So, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to go out and intentionally just say, I'm trying to break this dude record, but you couldn't help, man. When you got close, you like, man, this is Deion Sanders. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. That's for us, man. You know, at the end of the day, you know, as players that love the game of football, guys ahead of us that set the tempo, like, we honor up to those guys. Those guys are like the Achilles and the Troys of the ancient world. You know what I mean? So we admire those type of guys. So in your situation with Junior Seau, so when you get closer, you know what I mean, accomplishing something that he has, it's a major, it's big, you know what I mean? So for me, and in that situation of breaking Deion record, man, it was more so of the relationship that we built that, man, we did it, you know what I mean? We put these stats up on the map, you know what I mean? And have players coming in at a young age trying to strive to achieve these type of records. But at the end of the day, as a unit, me and Deion came together as one and said, hey, we did it. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. And then the next step, to be honest, since we're talking about it, is that jacket. You know what I'm saying? Like, the next thing is that, and for me, you know, when I retired and I got a chance to work at NFL Network, my first like broadcasting gig when I retired. And I remember sitting up there, I was up there with Deion Sanders, Michael Irvin, Marshall Faulk, and LT. And LT at the time didn't have his, you know, he wasn't up for his jacket yet. But I was like, I was sitting up in the company like, damn, you know, I'm the only one sitting up here without a jacket. And I went to LaDainian's Hall of Fame speech. I went to Ray Lewis's, and I'll probably be going to Antonio Gates and possibly Phillip Rivers if, you know, if it's up that time. Does that ever click to you at some point now? Like, is that part of it is right around the corner? And what's that going to mean?
It's so overwhelming. I got an opportunity to experience something close like that situation. We had the ceremony in Miami with the Super Bowl when they announced the top 100. And so making that list, we had pretty much a whole week prior to the Super Bowl, week up to the Super Bowl, where we had like seminars and banquets and stuff like that, where we was presenting our jackets and get an opportunity to meet a lot of guys. So sitting in that room amongst all those guys, man, that made the top 100, and all of them was Hall of Famers, you know, and then it was like, wow, I'm in that situation that way. All these guys right here are Hall of Famers, you know what I mean? And now we're talking about the top 100 players, the greatest of all time. And I'm in the room right now, and I'm the only one that didn't make the Hall of Fame yet. And I'm sitting in the room amongst the greatest top 100 players in NFL history. And it was like, I felt like a rookie all over again, man, to be honest with you.
No, I know it. Let me tell you, I was in a room with Ray Lewis while they knocked on the door. And your time coming up, so I'm gonna go ahead and break. I'm gonna be a little spoiler alert, man. That knock is different. That, you know, like you get a regular knock at the door, like somebody coming to, you know, turn your bed over and clean your room. You might get somebody come up, but that knock, man, when they come and knock on that door, dude, is next level.
It's one of them. It's almost, I think that right there is almost a knock again. That phone call for draft day. It feels like that's how it's going to be. That phone call you get when you're sitting there waiting in the room for your draft, your name to get called for draft, that's like, I would say, 10 times more strain and more pressure.
And the draft was just up. The draft was just up. You know what I mean? So I got a great story, man. I remember when your name came up when I was with the Chargers. And obviously, we got, you know, we had Darren Sproles there. So I knew that I was, and when I was in the draft room and they were talking about you, your name, it came up. But they were also talking about different positions too.
Right.
So what was that like? Were you always asking to get on the other side of the ball and play, you know, play different positions and stuff too? Or that's something that kind of came along?
I'll be honest, I don't think it would have came along, moved me to the offensive side of the ball if I didn't do what I did my first year at kickoff and punt return aspect. It got to the point where it was like that, like you say, coaches read buy into like news stuff. Like what they hear, like all coaches do it. They see stuff in the newspaper, people talking about it. Oh wow, this is the best weapon they got on offense. You know what I mean? On the offense side of the ball, this is the best person. So it started feeding, they start feeding into it and say, hey, man, we got to move this guy to offense. You know, it was something that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to move to offense. I want to stay at DB, you know what I mean, and sell and make a name for myself at DB. But when teams start kicking the ball away from me and taking me out of the game as far as me getting my hands on the ball, the coaches said, we don't have no choice but to move you to offense. And so that's why I got pushed to the offense side of the ball.
That's always crazy to me. Like, I would sit back and say, why the hell teams are still kicking to this dude? That was the first thing that came to my head. Like, these people are crazy. They're still kicking, and you already took one or two to the crib. There's no way you touching that ball again for the rest of the game.
Right, man. I mean, that's something that we kind of deal with, you know. And then the more it got talked about, I guess teams started realizing, hey, man, we got to just kick it out of bounds. Like, we got to kick this ball away from this guy, man. It's no other scenario.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, and last thing, dog, before we go, because I got an 11-year-old son, because I always ask other guys that I either played with or played against. And my son played quarterback and he played safety. Right.
Okay.
And I saw the social media post that went viral on your son. How much pressure? Because you obviously played at the highest level possible. You're going, you know, Hall of Famer. You know, you've done your thing. How much pressure do you put on you? Because I'm curious, because I don't in some of these cases, like, I don't know. I don't know whether to stay back and, you know, let the coach do it or step in there. Sometimes his coaches be like, man, Sean, go, you know, do your thing. Go talk to the team and coach. And I kind of want to sit back because I already know the pressure's there for him to go out right. And do what I did on the football field. Do you and your son ever had that conversation, or just like, yo, he's a freak athlete, let him go ahead and do his thing?
See, my son, he was – I got three boys, right? So my oldest son don't want to do anything with a ball. Nothing with anything with a ball, he don't want to do it. And, you know, I said, you know, I'm not going to be that father that – because I grew up with kids, a lot of friends that father pressured them into doing this and being – trying to be like they wanted to be in life. I said, you know, I'm not going to do that because I seen the relationship those kids build with their father and their dad. But my middle one was, he was just special. Like, for Christmas at the age of 2 or 3 years old, like, all his gifts for Christmas came from Dixon Sports Academy.
That's all he wanted.
That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted. He didn't want to pick up no trains, no trucks, no cars. He didn't want to watch no TV, none of that. All he wanted to do is play with balls and go outside and play. That's all he wanted to do. And so he got to the point where I was finding myself not outside just playing catch with him. Start coaching him up on, you know, shape moves and how to do the cone drills and how to do the ladder drills and stuff like that. So I stepped to him one day and I said, hey, man, if you really want to be special, you know what I mean, let me know and I can coach you. Because I'm his coach, so I always was his coach in every sport he played pretty much. And so I asked him, like, me and him were driving home one day from practice. And I say, do you feel like I'd be hard on you, like, when I'm coaching you? He said, I feel like you don't, when I make a mistake, you're more mad and you get more louder than if another kid beside me do the same thing. You don't really ask, you know, you don't really, really get on him like that. But every time I make a mistake, you get on me. I say, man, it's a time and a point where coaches have to decide who to get on. You know what I mean? Who can handle it? Or at the end of the day, this is really not my kid, so I can't really get hard on him. I say, but you know what? You still young right now, right? So you let me know. And I promise you, I won't be mad. I'll back away a little bit. I'll step back a little bit if you want me to back away from you. But if you want to be great, I got to continue to coach you like this. And I say, you make a decision. I say, listen, this is a dead end son talk. It's not a coach has and Drayton talk. This right now, it's a dead end father son talk right now. Okay, so I promise you, I won't be mad at you. If you want me to just calm down a little bit, I'll back away because I understand you're still young. He looked me in my eye and said, "Daddy, I want you to coach me hard. I want you to stay." I said, "Is this something you really, really want, Dre? Be honest with you. I promise you, I won't be mad." He said, "Dad, continue to coach me this way."
Straight up, he said that.
Tears ran from the top of my head all the way to the tip of my pinky toe. And he looked at me, and his eyes got watery. That's when I knew he was for real. He said, "Don't let up on me. Do not let up on me. Coach me the way you've been coaching me, because I want to be great."
Yo, I got chills right now, man. Honestly, man, and you know it too. When you hear that, that's different, because that's not talent no more. That's not him being a freakish athlete. That's him actually wanting to be real, like wanting to be great.
Wanting to be great, man. I do. I have a quarterback coach that come train him once a week, just to work on his fundamentals a little bit. And the guy that does it, he does like the top 10. I think they have like an episode every year for the top 10 quarterbacks. And he go and he does the training for all the quarterbacks. And he goes around to a couple colleges and work out with some of the kids. But he's actually training my son like once a week. And he say, "You know what?" He say, "Your son, I only coach two kids that's under 8, your son and another son, because he's my close friend." He say, "It's hard to coach 8-year-olds because the way I coach, after the first day, they break down crying. And they say they don't want to do it no more. It's too much pressure. It's too much thinking." He said, "I was so shocked." He said, "I did all I can to break your son, to make your son say he's not ready for it."
And he didn't.
He said, "All your son did was pout, but he never quit." He said, that's shocking right there, that he really, really wants to do it at an early age.
Yeah, and you know early too, man, because you can't teach them that. There is no way for you to make them tough. No way to make them want to go out and do that. So he had that mentality now at when he was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Dog, man. Hey, so what else, man? What else you got going? You coaching? You got some businesses going?
Man, I'm really, really like you. We both know when you playing the game of sport, man, it's really no family time. So the minute I retired, man, I say, you know what? It's for me as a father, it's time for me to have makeup time. This is all my makeup time. Like, I want to really, really be able to see my kids go to school. Like, when I played ball, I never seen my kids go to school on the first day of school. I never seen them get dressed for school. You know what I mean? All their little school classes and little shows that I never got a chance to attend it. I say, now, for me, it's more makeup time. And I just had another one. He's 3 now. But I'm at a point right now where I'm just – it's all daddy. Yeah, it's all about the kids now. So I'm more relaxed. I own a couple of commercial spots, a couple of rental property homes. But other than that, I'm just sitting back, man, just enjoying my family.
Dope. Hey, my dude, man, appreciate you for coming on. I'm going to be out there, too, when that jacket. So look in the crowd. I'll come find you.
Okay, man. Appreciate you guys for having me, man.
My dog, man. Appreciate you.
Okay, y'all guys, take it easy.
Thanks, guys, for listening in to another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And that was dope, man. You know, a couple things, right? So the cool thing about me doing this podcast is, you know, you play with a lot of guys, you play against a lot of guys. And some guys here and there, you don't get a chance to be around that much because you don't get a chance to talk to them. And you see what they do on the football field. You see how great they are and what they do in their craft. But to hear what they got going on, and Devin Hester has a ton going on, and I'm glad he's getting that chance to spend with his kids right after they finish going viral. I mean, he has some explosive athletic kid, man. It's all in the genes. So defensive players 10-15 years from now, you're gonna be hating another Hester out there in the field. So appreciate Devin Hester for coming on. Thank you guys for listening in to another Lights Out podcast. Me, Sean Merriman, and keep tuning in, leaving these great reviews, subscribing. I get a chance to read them here and there. I try to comment. But most important, leave those reviews, man. It helps out a lot. Thanks for following us. Next week, we're back again.